This is a Pain Artistry production.
We are two women in academia,
raising questions and breaking down perceptions
from a Black point of view.
Welcome to the Black Gaze Podcast.
It's your girl, Dr. Porcher.
And it's your girl, Dr. Bertrand.
Listen, y'all, and we back.
And we back.
And we back, and we back, and we back. But listen, y'all, we back, and we had to change our last three episodes of this season because, you know, these non-melanated folks, every single season since we started Black Gaze, have found a way to show their tales. Yeah. So us, y'all know we keep it 101,000. So we have to switch it up. We got to pivot, just like you have to do in your classroom or when you're teaching, when you see, oh, shoot, that ain't working no more, or the topics or what is going on in the world has changed. You got to pivot. So we going to pivot for y'all today. So, Dr. B, can you tell the folks what we talking about today?
Today we talking about we been knowing.
We been knowing.
When they said on January 6th, we been knowing.
We've been knowing. So listen, Fred, I'm so glad it's just you and I today so we can really talk through this and kind of let go of some of the things you and I have been talking about in our group chat, but also what Black folks have been saying since they got here 400 years plus.
Okay.
Yes. So, friend, I'm so excited that we get to take some time to honor our OGs today. Yes. So, do you mind if I start?
No, I want you to start because the title is going to flow. You go ahead.
Go ahead. Listen, let me do my thing. Okay. All right. My OG for today, and she my friend, my sister, my mentor in my head. I already told her that. But my OG for today is Dr. April Baker Bell. And the reason why, and y'all know we had Dr. Baker Bell on our honoring the OG. So it's only right that I honor her. Y'all know she dope. But she wrote an article called, and it actually came out in 2020 when these folks was really acting a fool. It's called We've Been Knowing Toward an Anti-Racist Language and Literacy Education. So this is literally a love poem to her, to really honor her because we came up with this title. It came from her. But in this article, if you have not read it, you should check it out. She highlights how Black people been knowing what to do to move toward an anti-racist language and literacy education. Mm-hmm. So when I read this article, like it really, really solidified Dr. Baker Bell as the homie, like for real. Yeah. Because this is stuff that we say all the time. And I love the way that she centers Blackness in her being, her learning, her teaching, and most importantly, her speaking. Mm-hmm. But for the sake of this topic today, like just how we put our own spin on this, Dr. P, is that we want to highlight that we've been knowing about the terrorism of non-melanated folks since the inception of this country.
Come on.
We also been knowing about the savagery, and I ain't talking about Meg Thee Stallion, okay?
I was about to say, I'm a savage.
Well, I ain't talking about Meg Thee Stallion. I'm talking about the savagery that we witnessed on Capitol Hill January 6th. Many of us witnessed this type of behavior and terrorism in our classrooms.
Absolutely.
In the boardrooms, on our jobs. And so, especially as faculty members, we see this savage behavior in faculty meetings when our colleagues incite macro aggressions against us. Like, we know this behavior.
You just went straight to macro.
Straight up to macro, because I ain't playing with these folks today, okay? The gloves are off. All right, so I want us to be transparent and talk about how we've been knowing about this behavior and to really put a mirror up for folks to see, you know, like we've been telling y'all this, like for a very long time that y'all folks ain't got no sense, all right? So I wanted to take some time to just honor Dr. Baker Bell for like just giving us the Black print to use our language, even as a title for this episode. So I'm super excited. Dr. B, can you tell us about your OG? Because you see I'm getting 38 hot already. So go ahead.
Listen, I'm like, oh my, this is going to be an episode for the masses, okay? But no, real talk though, I do want to add on everything that you said about Dr. April Baker Bell is so true. And honey, just like we making her, look, you made her your mentor, she mine too. Like that right there is the homie for sure. So I do want to definitely shout her out, and I'm so happy that you honored her as the OG. But for me, I don't know if you've been watching MSNBC. She was on the readout last week. And honestly, I just found out about Congresswoman Cori Bush. for those of you who do not know, Congresswoman Cori Bush is serving her first term as a representative of Missouri's first congressional district in the United States House of Representatives. She is the first Black woman to represent Missouri's first congressional district and the first activist from a movement fighting for Black lives elected to the United States Congress. So she about that life, okay?
About it.
Listen, is you about it? About it. But wait. I wanted to honor her as an OG because every time I see her on MSNBC or whatever network she's on, she is giving it to the people straight with no chaser or no appetizers. Okay.
Listen.
She has been letting the American people know what is really happening in the Capitol, what's really happening in Congress. She has been denouncing non-melanated supremacy, even calling out her colleagues in Congress who are refusing to go through the metal detectors, who talking about they gonna bring guns onto the floor. Disrespecting Capitol Police, the one acting a fool, okay? Mm-hmm. I know this is not easy for a Black woman, but this work is necessary. And because of that, I have to honor Congresswoman Cori Bush. And one last thing, did you know she was a registered nurse and also a ordained pastor?
So Oh, yes, ma'am. Oh, yes. This is the thing, too. And I'm going to just take it back for a little bit. Because when I see Cori Bush, I see my sister. Because my sister got a tattoo on her chest like Cori Bush, honey. Okay. And so it is extremely important. Like, I think about all of the Black girls who are going to look on TV and see Congresswoman Cori Bush and see themselves, right? Because we have talked about this on the Black Gays podcast about how we expect Black people to show up a specific way. And she has come with all her Black glory and all the Black culture. And I appreciate that about her. Like, I really, really do. Man, this lady ain't come to play. That's why she an OG.
Snatching wigs, wigs, lace fronts, edges, ponytails, what you, whatever you got, toupee.
Listen. And Dr. B, that's why I think it's so important because I think Cori Bush, Congresswoman Cori Bush, and Dr. April Baker Bell, they come to these spaces knowing that they represent our community and our culture, right? And they also come telling the whole truth. Like, they ain't playing no game. And they know that their truth is going to set people free. And so I want us to take some time, Dr. B, and talk about our personal experiences that we've had with this non-melanated terrorism and our educational spaces. So I'm going to let you go first. Talk about the terrorism that you've experienced. Go ahead.
Friend, I'm actually going to take this experience back a little bit. And I don't want people to think that I'm going so far back because I have not experienced this non-melanated terrorism in my recent experiences, because we're not going to talk about how I was called a Negro pen and an Uncle Tom by folks y'all find respectable, talking about the listeners. Okay? No, we're not going to go there.
But anyway, don't do it to him today, honey. It's 2021. Don't do it.
Lord, we got too much before the Lord. But anyway, not giving them that energy. But I want to go back, honestly, because I know that we have a lot of educators that listen to our show. And I want to share an experience that I had. And what I saw on January 6th was non-melanated people throwing a temper tantrum. And I like to say that this temper tantrum is mixed into a racist gumbo that they have cooked up, honey. And they have served a samples of that racist gumbo on January 6th, honey. So that tantrum is just one of the ingredients. And so I want to talk about, though, when I switched from teaching at a predominantly Black elementary school to a predominantly white elementary school, and this would happen like my last 2 years of teaching, so around 2015, 2014. And when I got to the new school, I was trying to do my job. I had been doing, you know, this teaching thing. And I will be honest with you. I think I do have a great rapport with students. So I requested that I have all the kids in my class that have had issues with teachers previously, the ones that teachers rule out or that say that, you know, they are behavior issues. So,
you know, the ones I love.
Are the ones that I love, honey, to wait. When they tell you, you bad, you come see me. I got you, right? So I was doing me and just being who I am. And at one of the team meetings, my team never accepted me. This was a team of white women. One was biracial, but I think she was confused. But anyway, I requested. We had this
meeting, shady baby,
and we
shady
were,
baby.
Listen, me and Gabrielle Union's daughter got it, but at one of the team meetings, we were planning and got into a conversation about diversity. And I honestly remember, I can't remember everything because I blacked out, but one of my colleagues said to me, the only reason you were hired is because you were Black. And the principal told me that the school needed more diversity. Mm. And so at that moment, I was like, oh my God. Like, honestly, it felt like a gut punch. And I, like I said, I had blacked out, but I felt like I was carrying all Black women on me at that moment where I had to respond and say, you know what? And I was talking out loud so they could hear me. I was like, I'm not going to go off. I'm not going to roll my eyes. I'm not going to have an attitude. Like, I was really walking myself through. So as I was walking myself through, I'm closing my laptop. I'm getting up. I'm pushing in my chair. I'm walking out the classroom. And it was at that moment that I realized they're scared of me. They don't like this Black excellence being in this place. And for that whole year, it was little things that they did. Like, we would have picture day in the school. That team had won an award for academic performance. When it was picture day, the photographer is trying to take our picture. Girl, they looked at me and told me, you didn't help get these results, so you don't need to be in the picture.
Skim.
Yeah, there were times when I'm teaching, you didn't share information with me. This is what I'm talking about. What we saw last week is stuff that we see all the time in our Absolutely. School. You're throwing a tantrum because you don't like what is happening right now with our 46th president that will be coming in, Joe Biden, and Kamala Harris, our first Black woman vice president. You don't like that, so you're throwing a tantrum. And that's the experience that I've had in education, is that when I come into places and I do my job, and believe me, if you know me, you know that I do my job well, honey, just like all these Black women say, and everything, I think it's a gift for us. And so when I come in there, I felt like it was them holding this tantrum. And this really was an experience that even to this day really bothers me, because I go back on it and think about, how could I handle it different? Should I have just cut them out? That would have freed my spirit, right? But like, it's just those things. So that was my experience that I wanted to share. When we think about what happened on the 6th, the tantrum that was showing, I've always seen America's racist slip hanging.
Listen, and this is the thing too, friend. I want to just take a moment to just encourage you also, because you are dope and you amazing. But as you were talking about this experience, I thought about Dr. Carol Anderson's White Rage, right? So they be big mad because we are excellent, right? Yeah. And we do it with swag too. Like, so swag, it's not like
on 10
on 1,000, okay? So when we show up in the space, and honestly, this is an opportunity, and this is a moment, very rarely, y'all know I don't really talk to these non-melanated folks, but I want to take a moment to tell you that having us in your presence is a gift.
Bless the people.
We bring a lot of amazingness to the floor. Like, we make y'all spaces better, period, point blank. All right. So the thing is, we are also doing that under hate, oppression, racism, right? We're doing that under that umbrella. So just imagine if you actually loved us and really loved us, what we could actually produce, right? And so you were probably bringing much more to that team than they had, because numbers ain't nothing. Don't even get me started on that. You probably brought so much to that team, and they couldn't figure out why the kids loved you so much and why they were doing so well under you when they had been with them for so long and they weren't really doing nothing with them. So it amazes me that when people say they want diversity, they want diversity in the body. They don't want diversity in the mind, because they know that when we actually come and we bring our excellence, things are going to change. And they don't really want things to change, right? They want things to stay the same. And so I just wanted to say that, like, you're awesome, and you, they were blessed to have you. And that's all I'm going to say about those non-melanated folks, because I'm trying to get to heaven.
You trying to get to heaven, but I need somebody to get the offering plate. Where's the plate at, so that we can collect some money? Because you just need a word. Let me get you some Gatorade, some tea, some something. Because you just...
I'm going to have to start dropping my Cash App, okay?
Listen, I need you to put that joint right on the link.
Okay. Listen, friend, but I gotta tell you, I love that you went back, but I'm gonna come forward, okay?
Come forward.
This actually happened to me this semester. And to be completely transparent, I went back and forth about whether or not I would share this story or not, because mm-hmm. I know what happens to Black faculty members when we tell the truth mm-hmm. and when we talk about our experiences and really expose whiteness in the slum of America that has been here since. Mm-hmm. So I want to talk about this because I'm going to free myself and I ain't going to let nobody hold me down. Okay. Listen. Okay.
It's 2021.
Listen. And even if it was 2020, they ain't about to hold me down. Okay. Don't let me start saying he did and Mace up in here.
Don't let nobody.
All right,
let's go. We got to keep on moving.
I got to keep moving. We got to keep on moving. Listen, I know we missed each other. As y'all can see, we missed talking to just each other. All right, but shout out to our co-host. All right, so this past semester, I had a student in my class who was on Zoom with a big old Trump sign, y'all. Like, it took up her whole wall. And then, so on one wall, she had the Trump flag. And then on the other wall, she had, like, this little TV playing Fox News in the background. And the screen was positioned, her screen was positioned in a way that ensured that I could see that Trump, you know, banner, flag, whatever it is, and the news playing every time we had class. Mm-hmm. Now, mind you, listen, I love using that word because it's so Black. Now, mind you.
Now, you know that's when the story about to get good. When a Black person says, mind you, you
now,
know.
Now, mind you. Mm-hmm. I'm the only Black faculty member in our program, right? Mm-hmm. And regardless of what people say about Trump and like, oh, you know, he just says crazy things. The man is racist, period, point blank. So anybody who supports him or any policies that he has put forth to enact harm upon Black and brown children or people, I'm always looking at you side eye. I ain't even going to negotiate that conversation with you. So let me continue. Mm-hmm. So with mm-hmm. this particular situation, I knew that that was aimed towards me. Like people wanted to use it as like, oh, it's her free speech, it's her home. I'm like, yeah, all right. So the second thing that really happened, well, multiple things actually happened with this student. This student, we do photo voice projects, which Dr. B put me on to, and it's a great tool that students can use to have like critical conversations around race and social justice. I would be asking this child like specific questions about herself, and she would use it as a political moment. So I had the students unpack like, what were your any personal experiences that you had with Black and brown people around language, right? And this girl brought up Candace Owens, right? And so me being me, I said, so do you know Candace Owens? Because my question said, do you know anybody personally? Like, you got her on your, you know, on your favorites, on your iPhone.
She was taking a shot,
right? So she's taking a shot. And then the last thing that really pushed me over, remember when that president, that guy, he was walking around with COVID and he still wanted to have a debate like he ain't have COVID.
Correct.
So he decided that since he couldn't have it in person, he was going to do a town hall. Like, he just wanted to go around and spread COVID. But long story short, there was a Black young lady sitting behind Trump as he was speaking. And every time he would say something racist and you know, despicable, she would shake her head like she was agreeing. Mm. And so I told my students to capture for their like post photo voice to capture times where they saw diverse languages and Blackness and indigenous languages being, you know, shown in the spaces that they were in. She decided she was going to capture a photo of this Black girl sitting behind Trump. Mm-hmm. In my mind, I know how this shows up in classrooms. So I knew that this student was intentionally baiting me, right? And this behavior wasn't new. So as soon as I seen it, I was like, oh yeah, she coming for me, right? And so a lot of things spiraled out of control with this student afterwards, but I think it's most important for us to note this, that when Black women tell you that there are students in their class that are showing up in a way that is harmful, you all need to listen, not when it blows up and then it impacts you, right? Because the reason why people are so upset about January 6th is because they were inciting violence upon white people.
Yeah.
We've been telling them, like, these folks be out here doing some crazy stuff to us. Yes. And everybody's like, well, maybe they were having a hard day. Or, you know, maybe they really didn't mean it. And we like, nah, these people are violent and they are doing violent things to us. And so what really makes me frustrated is that, especially being as a teacher, educator, Dr. B, we see these types of students in our classrooms all the time.
Absolutely.
And these are the students that will enter schools with children that look like us. And so we're telling you up front, like, this kid ain't good for this space. They are going to enact harm upon more Black and brown children, because I'm an adult and they're doing that passive aggressive stuff to me. So just imagine what they're going to do to children. And so it's important for people to note that when we say, look, y'all might need to look into this child, they ain't right. Y'all can't then go back and like, oh, let's give us them another opportunity. Mm-hmm. Or we feel like they can change. No, we know racism when we see it. We know it. We've been knowing it, right? And so I just wanted to take the moment to, you know, highlight that.
I like how you just brought yourself down. Like, I like that. Look at that. Come on, therapy.
Listen, come on. Shout out to Miss Jeanette. I'm coming down. So I'm going to let you, Dr. B, so I can calm down and I keep
But you know job. What? Let me let you calm down. But I do want to acknowledge, I love the fact that we didn't even plan this, but we did do an example out of like a K through 12 setting and an example out of higher ed. And the thing that exists in both is this racial violence, right, towards Black people. And so one of the things that stood out to me is because when I was listening to you, I was very much so triggered because I started thinking about my own personal situations within the institution. But one of the things that really triggers me is that these things happen to Black faculty and nobody addresses it. Like, you let it happen and you don't try to create, you have dispositions and you have other things that you can use, but you choose not to, because you always have, I find that the student side is always taken into consideration because they're paying tuition. And so I am going to ask that those who are in higher education and they are administrators, that you all start to really listen to Black faculty and their experiences. Because I'm also thinking about people that I know who have not gotten tenure, who are amazing scholars, and they did not get tenure because they were not performing as far as their research and their service, but it was one evaluation.
Come on.
Or it was one report that said that they were being rude and disrespectful. And so those are things that I really want these institutions to take into consideration. I'm not going to mention any names because Black Gaze is trying to build and we don't need no lawsuits. But there's an institution that had at least 4 Black faculty who did not get tenure in the same year. You got to start checking yourself. Because you wrecking yourself. Because let me let y'all know, if these Black faculty leave these institutions, y'all ain't going to be able to survive like that.
Listen, and this is the thing, friend. I want you to take us to the next segment, because the one thing that we've been hearing a lot on the news, and let me not discredit this moment, because I think this moment, January 6th, was very important. And if you turn on the news, everybody keeps saying January 6th is a day of infamy, right? Mm. It's one we're going to always remember. But what they failed to discuss is the days that Black people always remember. Right? Those days of infamy that we have in this country that has not been recognized as days of infamy. So I want you to take the folks, just give them a little snippet so they know we like researchers for real. Give them a little snippet of just some days of educational infamy that has happened in schools, like, that we won't ever forget, that they need to be aware of. Go ahead, lay it down for them.
You know what? We have listeners. Black Gaze is doing big things. We have listeners that are not in the United States, so they may not know what has happened on January 6th. And we also have listeners, I don't know where they've been at, child. So before we get into this history, I just want to take a moment for those who have no clue of what is going on in America and explain that on January 6th, there was a domestic terrorist attack by a group
of thugs.
Before the attack was a rally. Okay. And those in attendance then made their way over to our United States Capitol, where Congress was meeting to certify President Joe Biden as the 46th president of the United States. So I just wanted to build that foundation, because I know we keep referencing January 6th, but I wanted you to know what happened. But going back into what Dr. P was talking about, this infamy that we're talking about has happened over time. It happened in slavery with us. There is the Red Summer of 1919. And I was actually reading an old snippet out of the Crisis Magazine, which is the NAACP magazine. And it was talking about Red Summer. And I want y'all to listen to this because it sounds so familiar to what happened last week. The quote is, "I knew it to be true but it was almost an impossibility for me to realize as a truth that men and women of my race were being mobbed, chased, dragged from streetcars, beaten and killed within the shadow of the dome of the Capitol at the very front door of the White House. That was written by James Weldon Johnson, who actually coined the term Red Summer. Now, we didn't see actual physical violence last week on Black people on January 6th. However, there was an attempt to disrupt the system, and we've been seeing violence on Black people for 400 plus years, but especially in 2020, y'all was showing up and showing out, just shooting us all over the place, right?
All over the place. Putting the knees in people's necks.
Come on now, I can't breathe. So with that being said, these are things that have been happening. The Tulsa riots happened during that period of time where there were attacks on Black communities that were building. There was attacks in Arkansas, Georgia, Chicago, so many more cities, lynchings were happening during this time. Jim Crow happening. Right now, I would even say that America is still lynching Black people. It doesn't look like a noose around our necks, but you're suffocating us with the policies and the things that you are doing that are racially based. And then also the police violence. I will never forget last week watching police officers open up a gate for these thugs to come in and commit a terrorist attack. I have a husband in law enforcement. So I, listen, I know the game, but come on now, we got to take responsibility. Dr. Gloria Ladson Billings wrote a piece last week, and there were so many jewels that were dropped in this piece. And the piece was called, But What Will We Tell the Children? And so it brings up these moments of rage that non-melanated folks have had throughout history when they don't get their way. And I gave y'all just a couple of them right there. But she mentions one of the things that I didn't think about that she mentioned was the Civil War. And if there, she presented it as they were the sore, that sore loser behavior, right? Because you didn't win the war, yet you still walking around here with Confederate flags. If y'all looked at the news on January 6th, what did they replace the United States flag with? A Confederate flag.
And this that Trump flag.
In that Trump flag. So this behavior, what we saw, it's not new to us. Just like Dr. April Baker Bell said, we've been knowing.
Been experiencing it too.
We've been knowing and we've been experiencing it. And it's so crazy because this behavior also shows up in our education system. If you take a moment, think back to 1954 when the Brown versus the Board of Education case happened and it required integration. Notice there was a second Brown versus the Board of Education in 1957 because jokers didn't even want to integrate. But even in that, these non-melanated folks were big mad. They were so mad that they had to integrate that they even started closing schools. Okay, they wouldn't need the whole schools, whole nothing. That's that same behavior that we were seeing last week, that temper tantrum. Then on top of that, when I think about Brown versus the Board of Education in that environment that was set there, I'm thinking also about 2021. And I'm also thinking about our Black children in schools. And I want us to think about it with the lens of looking at the academic data, the performance data, looking at school disciplinary data, look at the school to prison pipeline. We are using what I guess for me, there was a meme that had Black people, how we were looking. And I think it was Whoopi Goldberg from The Color Purple and how we was looking when we were watching. I was clutching all nine of my pearls, honey, because I was down like, I was looking, that didn't surprise me because we've been experiencing this. Our children have been experiencing this. In my class, I used the Talk to Teachers by James Baldwin in class yesterday. And one of my students had made the connection, which I am so proud of them. They made the connection and said, we always assume that children don't know how to experience racism, or they don't know how to articulate it, but they are experiencing it. And that's what James Baldwin was trying to tell us. So I just wanted, let me get my thoughts together. Based off of what we witnessed on January 6th, this is nothing new to Black people. It's nothing new to us. This terrorist attack on the Capitol building that we witnessed has been happening. In fact, it has been happening, and we have been dealing with this kind of terrorism for 400 plus years. And that's all twinkle, twinkle, little star. Okay.
Okay. And this is the thing too, you know, I think the one thing that hurt me the most, like, I wasn't surprised by the behavior, but the amount of people who kept reiterating the fact that if this was Black people, this wouldn't have happened, right?
It like wouldn't have.
These people would be dead. And the mere fact that you can say that so loosely and so matter-of-factly is that you've been knowing too.
Oh, absolutely.
You have just decided mm-hmm. that you wouldn't do nothing about it. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to just leave that right there. And so as we move to almost our final segment, because y'all know we can't talk about y'all bad and not give y'all something on how we can move forward. We know as mad educators that are thinking about, like, how do I have conversations about this in my classrooms and with my students, with my pre-service teachers? And so don't worry, your soul, honey.
You got them.
We got you. So I want to take y'all through some things. And I know people have been giving some, like, resources and books, but I'm going to take you to church.
Preach.
I'm going to take you to a place that you might not be ready, but we going. Let's go. Put on your shoes. Okay. Put on your coat. Let's go. All right. So first and foremost, there will be no unity without accountability. Quit telling us, because this is what happens when Black people say, like, y'all out here doing some craziness. They be like, well, let's come together. Let's hold hands. Let's talk about it. No, there will be no unity without accountability. Don't try to play us and act like we don't want unity. We was out here trying to get y'all Brown versus Board of Education, trying to get us to integrate.
We was good.
Listen, but we have to hold folks accountable for their behavior. So I know I'm about to step on some Blue Suede's shoes, all right? I'm talking about somebody
Elvis.
But educators, I want to take a moment to talk to the educators who have ostracized Black faculty and teachers for bringing up white domination, racism, oppression, and all of the isms, right? They bring it up all the time and they're like, okay, here come Dr. Porcher again with racism. And now you're rolling up like, I'm ready to work. What I saw was terrifying. Let's get to it. No, baby. Step back. I want you to take the opportunity to apologize for the complicity that you also play in the behavior that happened on January 6th. Mm-hmm. And this is also to Black folks too. Don't let them run up on you with their cries and their tears like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. No, when you are ready to listen to them, then you listen to them. Because I'm going to tell you like my grandma tells me.
It's the voice for me, but go ahead.
Dr. B always tell me time and place, right?
Time and place.
And I'm telling you what my grandma also say. When you have time to listen, because this is terroristic for us. We've been dealing with this for a long time. And so when you feel like you crying and you ready to talk, then we supposed to listen. No, you have to give us space for when we ready. When we ready. But you must be held accountable. And nobody is going to forget how all of you all knew since the moment that man was elected that he was dangerous. And he was like, oh, just give him a chance. And, you know, he just made a mistake. He didn't really mean that. And then you got fools climbing and scaling walls. No. Take a moment to acknowledge the role that you played in this work before I'm just going to kumbaya with you. Because y'all say in this here country, we do not negotiate with terrorists. Y'all want me to negotiate with terrorists? It's enough for you, girl. And then Ayanna Pressley said it the best for me. She gave me life when she said, unity at the cost of my very existence, never.
Yes, yes.
Never. And might I add, it's a no for me, dog.
It's a no.
So until you can actually acknowledge the ways in which you all have enacted terrorism in our schools, and especially against Black and Brown children, don't come hollering at me. I don't want to hear it. Next thing, I believe I've said this before, friend, on one of our other podcasts, but honey, Black people, I'm talking to y'all. This is a family conversation. It is not our job to fix these folks or these systems.
Come on.
Listen, yes, we've been knowing, but these folks, after they take some accountability, they got to roll up their sleeves and get to work.
Yes.
Immediately. We have the praxis. We be knowing. We have the knowledge, but they have to make the policies to stop this foolishness.
Mm-hmm.
They won't even let us at the table. So how we gonna make the policies? And then when they did bring us to the table, they gaslight us the whole time. They are going to have to roll up their sleeves and get to work. And now I know I'm about to make some people mad, but I'm gonna say it and I'm gonna show
you. Okay, I got your back.
Don't let them DEI you to death.
Come on. Okay?
Don't let them do that to you. Especially if they ain't coming through with no policies. They need to get to work with their folks first. We ain't about to negotiate and facilitate PD with terrorists. You need to go talk to your aunt, your uncle, your mama, your brother, and your child about their behavior first before you have me rolling up in a bloodbath. I'm not doing that no more. And Black people, we do not have to do that. Mm-hmm. So we have the knowledge. We know what needs to be done, but they have to enact the policies. And they cannot put us on the front line to be killed mentally, physically, and spiritually by their folks. They got to get to work. And I'm going to say that. All right, I'm almost done. Don't y'all worry. I'm almost there. Okay, I think I got one more for y'all.
Listen.
What we going to do about these babies? What are we going to do about these babies? And that's what has hurt me the most, because Dr. B, you touched on it. Like, people are like, well, kids, there might be some kids who are not ready to talk about this. You know why? Because when they looked on TV and saw those people climbing up those walls, because I ain't going to never forget that. That was some old. You know what they thought about? The white kids in their class who jump on tables and do all types of things.
I heard that.
And they never get in trouble.
Mm-mm.
But the moment they do something,
mm-hmm.
you down their back. So they can also see a connection between that behavior that they saw on TV and the way that you treat them.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
So more than anything, I want folks to tell the truth and shame the devil. This is America.
Mm-hmm.
This is who we are.
It is.
We have known this for 400 plus years. Teach the history of what has happened to indigenous Black and Latinx folks in this country. Talk about how you stole these folks' land and just showed up like it was yours. Come on, Texas. Come on, California. Let's talk about it. So when we talk about immigration, make sure we talk about that. When we talk about, you know, Columbus, make sure we talk about the way in which he slaughtered folks. Tell the whole truth. Don't talk about, oh, we needed Black people to come here and help us. Talk about what you did to us. And then have the nerve to be like, well, y'all need to get over it. No, boo.
Mm-mm.
Tell the truth.
Mm.
Tell how you have been complicit in teaching curriculum that you know that doesn't tell the truth. I implore you to pick up some texts by some folks of color. Get into some of those videos, you know, those primary source documents that y'all love.
Come on.
Won't you go pick up some that actually were written by Black people so we can tell the whole truth, right? Because if we're not telling the truth, we're spreading lies. And we have to own that we are teaching lies. We got to own that. And so, and miss me with that, oh, my teacher didn't know, they told me a half-truth. A half-truth is a lie, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to leave y'all with the original OG. Dr. Gloria Ladson-Villan, she said something that shook me to my core because I never even thought about it this way. She said, racism is anti-democratic, and as long as the U.S. does not face the complicity in racism, it cannot claim democracy.
Mm.
And that's on Mary Had a Little Lamb and that's, Jesus in the Manger.
Listen. You drop so many gems. You really drop. But here's another thing, because I'm blown right now because it needed to be said. But here's another thing that I noticed within the last week. When you talk about it's not our responsibility as Black people to fix this mess, I also want it to be known to those non-melanated people, don't call on us to fix this mess. Because I have had a friend reach out to me to tell me that her white colleague, who's an educator, said, can you come to my classroom and lead a discussion on what happened on the Capitol?
I want to.
Black people won't scale in walls, taking pictures in Pelosi's assistant's office, taking
spreading feces in the hallway,
gallows.
Racial.
Who wasn't doing that? So with that being said, that's not our problem. People will tell you all the time that I say, go get your people, because I'm taking care of mine. If Black people was out there doing that, I would have a message for them. So you get your folks, okay? And so I really want to make sure that this work does not come back on us, because this is not our problem to fix. So I'm so happy, Dr. P, that you stated that. And another thing that I've been seeing is white women a lot of, non-melanated women, we won't evoke that name in the presence of ourselves, but a lot of people are sitting here comparing what happened last week and saying it was unfair because they didn't treat us like this at the Women's March. There's no comparison. Take yourself out of the equation. Think about it from a perspective of this was racism. That's what we witnessed. Let's keep it
terrorism.
It was terrorism. It was racism. It was, like you said, all of the isms.
It was an insurrection. Yes, we have to, and that's why I said tell the truth, because we have to name what happened.
Yes.
Non-melanated folks are really good with using language and dancing around the issue. Come on. And I'm not here for it no more.
Because I have Millie Rock on the issue.
True. Listen. I don't want to hold these folks because I feel like we have given them enough to really think about.
This is the one that they need to listen to over and over.
Over and over. Listen, and don't use this as an opportunity to try to reach out to Dr. B and I and sulk. I'm so sorry. No, take a moment.
Oh, I don't need an apology.
No, I want you to be held accountable for your actions, but I want you to take this message and then go have a conversation with your family. That is what I need.
And I don't want y'all to be giving organic food to people who should be in prison. Did you hear about that? But that's another story.
Stop it. Stop. That's another story, friend. Listen, let's go to our favorite, because we haven't had a chance to talk about what we've been reading.
Oh, my God. I've actually been reading.
What you reading in there?
What you reading, though?
Okay, so I actually went on like a spree. I read three novels and a memoir. And the one that I want to highlight is Heavy. And I'm sorry if I mispronounce his name. Kesey Lehman. Girl, when I tell you that thing changed my life. He is a Black faculty member. I believe he's in Mississippi now, but girl, I can't even go into all of the details about how he struggled with eating and growing up, dealing with violence within his within the Black community. But what I loved about this book so much, and it's connected to what we talked about, is that yes, we do have challenges in the Black community. That's why we created the Black Gates, because we need a space to be able to think through that. But we also have to talk about the conditions that were intentionally created in this country that contribute to the challenges that we have. And I think that he did such a great job in this book talking about the challenges that he had growing up as a Black man that were very prevalent in the Black community. But he also does not miss a beat in talking about the conditions that were created in this country that also contributed to those challenges, be it his weight, how he struggled as a Black student at an all-white school and got kicked out. Like, it was just so good. I am so excited because I'm actually going to be teaching. I'm going to include this memoir in my grammar class next year to teach about Black language, but also the conditions that impact us. So I am so excited. Fran, what are you reading?
So this is, okay, so I actually got this book probably in the fall, but your girl had no time in the fall, honey. They were working me, honey. I was the mule. But
working me.
Listen.
They working me. Hey, they working me.
Okay, first of all, just cut it out. Let me get my book. So the book that I have been reading, actually I've been reading a few, but this is the one that I think has stood out to me, is I'm Still Here, Black Dignity in a World Made for Whiteness by Austin Channing Brown. And Austin, if you have not read or heard of Austin is a woman, okay, a Black woman. But this book takes you on a racial journey, and even with the response to what we've been feeling. But 2020, we all know, was a heavy year when it came to racial injustice. But she takes us through even the naming of her being Austin, and how, you know, she was judged in schools because of that name. And her parents had named her that because they wanted to give her, as a Black person, an opportunity, but also to carry the legacy of one of her family members. And so it's just an amazing book. But she really talks about what we're experiences of Black people in America when it comes to whiteness, from going to work to being in school, just in every area. And so the book has been powerful. For me, it has been a critical reflective piece, if I shall say, where I'm just thinking about my own positionality and the experiences that I had. And on our last episode, when we had Tamisha and Janae, we talked about self-care and we talked about Black well-being. And so this book has really centered me on that work of what does Black well-being look like for me? And being able to, now, you know, I've been telling people no left and right, honey. I'm like Zorro. I'm swinging those around unless there's a bag connected to it. So this is definitely a great book. And I would ask that people read that book. So this leads us to our next segment. Look, you see, I just jumped back. Listen, I see you.
I see you shining.
Yes, friend, listen. You know, I love a good read, honey. A good read, a good read. And because sometimes, you know, when I was watching this January 6th thing pop off, I'm not going to tell you a story. Motor producer and I were watching it live. Right. And so we were watching the Senate here, like we were listening to their testimony. And then I start seeing people like climb up the walls and stuff. And I remember me and Mo kept saying, like, I think they trying to get in. Like, it was really like some old reality TV type foolishness. I mean, I guess it was reality. But anyway, I have been looking for the words. Mm-hmm. Right. And there's so much more we could say about this. But we wanted to make sure that we said something about it. Mm-hmm. But Lynae.
Girl, what? She everything.
Listen, and let me shout her out real quick, my Spelman
sister. I was just about to say, you know she your Spelman sister.
Listen, she read these folks for filth. Do you hear me? Hmm. But what I loved about it so much, because we are, as Black people, we are brilliant with our words and with our swag. And just our whole dispositions be like, yes. Mm-hmm. But what I loved about it the most, and I feel like a lot of our Black children have, this moment has been taken, like a lot of our historical content, just based on the fact that we were stolen from our country and brought here, you know, that's the truth that you should tell too. Mm-hmm. She did such a great job at like providing a historical timeline of the moments of infamy that have happened in this country for Black people and how we've been knowing, right? And I didn't even know of her until I saw this video, and she has become my number one person. And so I just want to say, Lynae, girl, keep bringing us the tea from the parking lot of your home, girl. Yes. And you're doing it cute and flat. And I just want to say thank you for telling the truth and shaming the devil. And the way that you do it is just so bossy. I love it. And I want to say thank you, because I know that a lot of young people are on Instagram and they are going to come across your video and they're going to get access to the truth. So I just want to say, I see you, Spelman.
I see you shining.
Well, I didn't go to Spelman, so she ain't my Spelman sister. But I would like to say, I'm not a hater. Shout out to all. Don't be telling people I'm a Spelman hater and then they be trying to send me no email. But look, ooh, baby, I'm a thug. I don't care. But anyway.
Oh, my God. Go, champ.
I don't know why we got all these songs in our spirit. Now, I love that. I did have to hit y'all with the Trick Daddy dollars. But when it comes to I See You, I really did. I text Keisha. I was like, we got to stop being in sync, because Lynae is also my I See You. And I saw her video. I watch her parking lot videos. Honestly, if you know me, you know that I love Issa Rae. She brings me such a vibe of Issa Rae that I just love.
Issa Rae.
Shout out to Issa Rae, honey, and happy belated birthday. Y'all tell her to holler at us.
It was actually Lynae and Issa share this. No, Lynae's birthday is the day after Issa Rae's.
And I didn't even know that. Look at how, but you're going to let me do my I See You to Lynae.
Go, girl. Anyway,
when I watched her parking lot, I watch her parking lot videos, and she's usually like really funny and has all of these different topics. But this one, it was the truth. And I think that not only was it truth, it was educational. Because if you did not know the straight rundown of history, she did provide that, like you were talking about. But it was also the tea sipping for me, honey. It was just, it was the teacup clashing and the good reads that was mixed in there. She gave a little Claire Huxtable read up in there. I loved it. And so I had, honestly, I think I messaged you because somebody had messaged me and I was like, this girl. So Lynae, if you're listening and you want to come here on Black Gays and have a conversation, you are more than welcome, honey, because Lynae Black Gay sees you.
I see you shining.
We see you, boo. Well, listen, y'all, we know y'all want to stay with us, and we missed y'all so much, but we are really trying to embody self-care, and we needed to take a break. But listen, we need y'all to do us a few favors, okay? First of all, if any of these episodes have, like, set in your spirit and have given you life this season, can you please write us a review on Apple Podcasts? We love them and we will be sure to feature them. Make sure you purchase our Black Gays merchandise, all right? Make sure you purchase that. But also, you can follow us on Instagram at Black Gays Podcast, and you can also follow us on YouTube at Black Gays Podcast. Dr. B, where can they follow us on Twitter and Facebook?
They can follow us on Twitter at Black Gays Pod, and they can also follow the Black Gays Facebook page, so they can follow us there. And then the last thing that I do want to add to this is on Anchor, they can give us donations. So there's donations.
Donations.
Listen, but no, real talk, y'all. So you can sign up for a 99 cent, a $5.99, or a $9.99 monthly donation to the Black Gays Podcast, and we will be greatly appreciated. We are not going to be out here buying Chanel bags. We are going to continue to support the work of Black Gays Incorporated and Black Gays Podcast. Yo. I didn't want them to think we was about to be out here in these ordering online purses.
Y'all see why I love her. So, y'all, we love y'all, and we love thank y'all for always rocking with us. It's your girl, Dr. Porcher.
And it's your girl, Dr. Bertrand.
And we out.
This is a Pain Artistry production.